Won't you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? Father in heaven, today we have set aside a portion of time to remember. We call it a communion service. We remember what Christ went through on our behalf, and we also look forward to the day when all things will be drawn to a close in this earth, and He will take His home to be with Him eternally. We look forward to that time, but now, O Lord, we have this old world yet to deal with, and we thank You that You have given us Your Word, that we might study it for ourselves and to know the things that You have revealed unto us. And so we pray this morning, as we are studying Your Word, may it be that the purpose for which You sent it would be fulfilled in our hearts and in our minds and most definitely in our lives. Let it be, O Lord, that Your light would shine forth this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was curious. I've been Seventh-day Adventist, what, maybe 10 years now? 10 years. You ever notice how when we come together for a communion service, we always use the texts of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Anybody ever notice that? Yeah, hold your hands. You remember. It seems like every time we come to communion, we read from this text of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And it's curious, to me at least, because 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is a rebuke. It's a rebuke. It's a rebuke to the church at Corinth. And we make a section of this rebuke the standard text we read during the communion service. Have you ever thought that to be a curious tradition? Anybody? Isn't that kind of odd that we would do that? Well, as I was thinking about this Sabbath and how it was coming up, I thought I would study that out for myself and try to figure out, why on earth do we do that? What's this all about? And then I also realized that in the context of that chapter, there's this idea expressed about eating and drinking unworthily. What's that mean? Anybody know what that means? Eating and drinking unworthily? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out this morning what that means to eat and drink unworthily. Now, I don't know how you feel this morning as you came here. I don't know what things you're dealing with when you entered these doors. But my prayer as I'm presenting this study with you this morning is that you would recognize that if you're trusting in Jesus Christ this morning, you can't be made or unmade any more worthy than what Jesus has already made you. So, this morning, we are about to embark upon a very sacred ordinance. We've called it communion. And so I've departed from the book of Romans in order to share a word or two about what God's Word says concerning the communion service. Turn in your Bibles, if you brought them this morning. If you haven't, there should be one in the pew in front of you, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and that's where we'll start our study. But I want to start at verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. It's that text I just mentioned to you. The one that seems to be the question this morning. Here's what it says in the King James Version. It says this: "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now, something about this text tells us that the eating and drinking unworthily happens to do or has some aspect to do with what? The Lord's body. Who's the Lord's body, church? We are. We are. And so our first clue to what this unworthily drinking and eating of the communion service has to do with the people that you see around you right now. Have you ever wondered like me? I mean, I do. I speculate, I wonder a lot when I read. But this text, eat and drink unworthily, what does that mean? Haven't you ever questioned that? Am I the only one that questions things? Now, most of us believe this, or have at least thought that this text is that there is something about me, or there's something about you that may be unworthy. And the question is, should I or should I not partake of the communion service? That's how I think we usually think of this text. We think of things like, do I have a cherished sin in my life? Am I in conflict with a brother or sister? Is there something unresolved right now in my life with a brother and sister that I have to deal with? Or sometimes we just simply don't feel worthy. Right? And so we ask these questions. Am I worthy or unworthy to partake of the communion service? Well, church, I have good news for you today. Really good news. You are all worthy this morning to come to the table to partake. You are all worthy. It's what you do at the table that can make you unworthy or not. Now let me show you that. Paul is rebuking the church at Corinth. Let's start with the 20th verse of chapter 11 where Paul states this. Here's what he says. He says, when you come together, this is chapter 11, verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So that's how he starts his rebuke. He says, you're not coming together to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, technically speaking, that was the purpose for their gathering. They were, in fact, coming together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But he is picking on a fact that there was something going on in them that when they were coming together, it was not, in fact, to eat the Lord's Supper. They were doing something, or they were experiencing something. There was something about them that was taking what was sacred in the Lord's Supper and making it worldly. In other words, they are simply not handling it correctly. Look at verses 21 and 22 with me. Here's what it says. For in eating everyone that taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Paul says. Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Did you see what was occurring there? What was happening? What was going on in the church at Corinth during the Lord's Supper? Look closely again at verse 21. What did it say? It said, for in eating, everyone taketh before another his own supper. And yet one is hungry, and another is drunken. You see, Paul says while they're eating, they are partaking before the other has his supper. In other words, that once they get to the table, it's a free-for-all. It's a free-for-all. I don't care about my person on my right and my person on my left. I'm getting mine. That's all I'm concerned with. Free-for-all. In other words, it's more like, I don't know if any of you, nah, I won't share that with you. It's simply a free-for-all. They're just going for it on their own. No one is waiting on anyone else. No one cares about the hungry at the table. No one cares about the thirsty. No one is assisting another person. And they have all come with needs. They have all come to the table with needs, but no one has come with Christ in their heart. Christ in their heart to serve one another first. And so Paul reminds them in this text. This is the curious part, the part of it that we usually read when we have communion. Paul reminds them of an event where Jesus took the bread and the wine and he offered it to his disciples. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Look at that with me now. This is the part of this letter that we usually read when we partake of the communion. I'm going to read that to you. Here's what it says. Well, I'm going to have to pull my Bible out. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And so Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in those verses, explains to us that the reason that we come to the communion service is twofold. Number one, to remember what Jesus did for us, and also to proclaim his soon return. This is what we usually read when we come to the communion service out of this letter or this portion of this rebuke. But why do you think Paul? Why do you think Paul wrote that here in the context of a group of people where no one was serving one another? Why do you think Paul wrote this in a context of a rebuke where no one was waiting on anyone else, and Paul deemed that as being unworthy, or that nature of that concept is making them unworthy to participate in the communion service or the Lord's Supper? Why do you think he put that in there? Well, the first thing you should note is that the behavior Paul is rebuking in the church at Corinth occurred in like manner on the night that Jesus was betrayed. On the very night that Jesus betrayed, the same attitude was present around the Lord's table. You remember what occurred? What was the condition of the disciples' worthiness to partake of that table? What was their condition when they sat down at the table? Do you remember? Look at Luke with me. Luke chapter 21. Verses 19 and 20. This is the portion that Paul is referring to here in the letter to the Corinthians. Here's what it says, Luke 22, 19 and 20. And he took bread, this is Jesus, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you. And so as you can see, the context of what Luke records is, in fact, the Last Supper, the very thing that Paul is speaking of in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But what occurred at that supper? Go down to verse 24. Here's what it says. And there was strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. You see, there was a... Can I say a free-for-all at the table? I'm better than you. Pass the bread. I deserve that cup more than you do. I'm going to be greater than you. Pass the cup. That's what this text tells us was going in the midst of the disciples' hearts and the minds. What did Jesus say, though? In the context of Luke, what does Jesus say to his arguing disciples about who was the greatest? Look at verses 25 through 27 with me. And Jesus said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, he that would be greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. Excuse me. Verse 27, For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I say, Jesus says, I am among you as he that serveth. Pay close attention to what Jesus is saying. He says very plainly, who is the greater one? The one that eats the meat or the one that serves another? Which is the greater, according to Jesus? Which one demonstrates the worthiness of his calling? Jesus supplies a very simple answer concerning this. He draws attention to the fact that he is God, and yet he is among them as a servant. Now, Luke doesn't record what Jesus did next, but John did. Look at John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. John 13, verses 4 and 5, here's what it says. It says, he riseth from supper. This is Jesus. He riseth from supper. He laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he girded himself. And after that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. See, I believe that Jesus performed this foot washing after the supper because the disciples did not demonstrate their worthiness to partake of the meal by serving each other. They demonstrated at the table that they were unworthy. In fact, Jesus told them that plainly, that if he did not wash their feet, they would have no part with him. You see, it wasn't unrepentant sin. It wasn't unresolved conflict or even a feeling of unworthiness that made them unworthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. It was the fact that they were not willing to serve one another. It was their lack of humility and their desire to show themselves as greater that caused them to be unworthy at the table. What did Jesus then command his disciples? John 13, verses 12 through 15. And so after he had washed their feet, and he had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know you not what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Make no mistakes, church. Jesus is God. Yet he condescended himself to serve human beings. Are you too good to wait upon one another this morning? Are you so great in your own estimation that you can't help a brother or sister? This, what we see in John 13, is what we call the ordinance of humility. We humble ourselves to serve one another by washing each other's feet before we come to the table. So that when we are at the table, we're not arguing amongst ourselves about who is the greatest amongst us. Because we should know the answer by the time we get here. Church, who is the greatest amongst us? Jesus. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verses 28 through 34 with me. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, the church. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many are asleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are thankful, because we are chastened of the Lord, because he loves us, that we should not be condemned with the world. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. And so what is the solution to the problem at the church at Corinth? How does Paul recommend we come to the table and partake of the Lord's Supper? Worthily. This is what Paul says. He says we should judge ourselves and not each other. And he tells us in verse 33, when we come together to eat, we should wait upon, we should tarry, we should serve one another. And Paul finishes by saying that if you are too hungry to serve someone else, it's better that you stay at home so that you do not enter into condemnation for eating the Lord's Supper unworthily. And so, brothers and sisters, you come to the table worthy to partake because Jesus has made you worthy. You can't become any more worthy or any less worthy than Jesus has already made you. It is whether you are willing to humble yourselves to serve another or not that can cause you to partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. And so at this time, church, we will depart to exercise obedience to Jesus Christ, to do as He commanded us to do, to wash one another's feet in the ordinance of humility.